and all the excitement we had getting started and the guests introduced, I absolutely forgot. Last week, I gave Keith a job to handle the weather on our fun day on Friday. Keith did take it upon himself, and I thought he did a magnificent job. So credit where credit is due. Well done, sir, on the weather. Yay, that's right. Take thee thou authority, Pastor, and use it for our benefit, please. Thank you. So I mentioned at the beginning, and we've talked a little bit about this fourth Sunday of Easter is called the Good Shepherd Sunday or Shepherd Sunday. Protestant churches, Catholic Church as well, but particularly in the Protestant world, really kind of glommed onto this Sunday, and we always share the 23rd Psalm and one of the three sections of the I Am the Good Shepherd passage that we read one of them this morning out of John's Gospel. And there are some other traditional things that go along with that as pastors, because it is every single year, this passage about I am the good shepherd, we pastors have some things we have to do, check boxes, if you will. So on Monday, we gathered with our lectionary group of pastors to discover how much we knew or didn't know about sheep. And we all kind of weigh in about our things we've discovered, that they can be led but not herded, and where do they live. And of course, we all hit Google, and that's for the sheep people that put on the internet, this is a big Sunday because every pastor's like, what do I need to know about sheep? Because we have no idea what to talk about sheep. So we do that. We make sure we have a stained glass window with Jesus holding a little lamb and some other sheep. So we've got that checked off. Honestly, none of us know much about sheep, which is part of what we're going to talk about for a minute. But we have, like, for instance, I'm obligated to share the joke that my dad kept telling me about sheep. Why did the ram fall off the cliff? Because he didn't see the U-turn. Check. So I've told a corny joke. I have referenced sheep. I have admitted not knowing much, but pretending like I knew a lot by Googling and all sorts of things. We even watched a funny video about sheep, right? So we have done all of that. And while this comes up every year, I find myself perplexed and caught anew. What in the world is Jesus talking about? Why this? Why do we keep coming back to I am the good shepherd when we all live in cities? And are we supposed to know about sheep? Are we supposed to know about shepherds? What? How does this translate? What? You know, we would be, I think, more comfortable if Jesus had said something like, I am the good teacher and you are the most amazing students ever. Just study hard. Get your stuff done. Or if Jesus said, I'm the good do-gooder. And you were all my little do-gooder assistants, so go out and do lots of good things and look busy all of the time. That would have been familiar. Or if he'd have said, I am the good therapist, and or I am the good coach, or I am the good friend. These are all things that we're familiar with in our lives, friends and people to help and stuff to do and places and things to go and accomplish. And we could, yeah, Jesus, we could relate to all of that. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, I am the good shepherd. So why not these other things? And I think, particularly today, pushed that the reason this metaphor came about and the heart of Jesus' teaching, it has so much to do with what comes before it in the Gospel of John. John's also always talking about how is that we don't know and we don't see and we can't hear, and then when we encounter Christ, we have understanding and connection sometimes, but there's this movement. And this story about I am the good shepherd comes after this. Jesus had been walking along and he found there was a man begging by the road. The man was blind from birth, the Gospels tell us. And so in that culture, he always had to beg and ask for people to support him. The general consensus was that if you were born blind, you somehow created horrible sins, or maybe your parents did since it came at birth, but the job of the community was to figure out what you or your parents had done wrong, because that was obviously the reason you were born blind or had any kind of challenge. That was the thought process. So Jesus comes along, he discovers, finds, comes about, comes to the man born blind. And then in the way only John can tell it, Jesus miraculously takes dirt and he wets it with his spittle and he makes a mud paste and he places it on the blind man's eyes And he sends them to go and to wash like a baptism. And he comes back and he can see. Now Jesus is long gone when he comes back, but the man comes back and can see. And since he had been born blind from birth, this was a big news to the community. Why can he see? How can he see? How could this be? Who did this? And for about the next 4,000 verses, everybody and their mother starts kind of getting on to this guy. What did you do? Who did this? Is it good or bad? By the way, of course, Jesus did this on the Sabbath. Oops, he said, because that was against the law. So the church is mad at him. The people are mad. They're unsettled. Who was the bad person? You, your mothers, the disciples didn't know. They berate and kind of start to push this man who had been out of community, that Jesus, and you think about it, like recreated humanity, mud man, Adam. I mean, this is the story of human creation again. And all of the community just keeps pushing him away. He didn't belong. And for a moment he could see. And then as soon as he could see, it just unhinged everybody. And so he goes along, tested. His parents are challenged. We're going to kick you out if you don't confess up. What is the trick going on here? What happened? And they just, I don't know. He's old enough to be on his own. Even his family pushes this man away. We get to the end of the passage after everybody has continued to question him and deride him. And through this process, he gets kind of more and more aware of who he is and becomes more and more like a disciple. And finally, at the end, he challenges the Pharisees and uses some logic with them. And what? You're teaching us? You're out. And this man who was out of society, restored to be like us, was then driven out again. And here's where the good news is. Jesus hears that he was turned out. And Jesus goes and finds him and says, do you know who the Son of Man is? And the man says, I would love to know. And Jesus says, I'm he, the one that you can see, the one that you heard. And the man said, I believe. And it says he worshiped him. Now, if we'd been given, I'm the good teacher, you're great students, I'm the great CEO, you can really get ahead in the world, I'm the good friend, and you can be a good friend too, we would have missed what Jesus said about our story when we don't belong, when the world closes us out. Jesus said, to explain it, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the seeking, self-giving, pouring out, never letting you go, sticking by you, never losing you, good shepherd. And you are the ovine aureus, mammalia, bovida, wandering, in need of a shepherd all of the time, sheep. That's where we start. I am the good shepherd, and you are sheep. And since I confessed, and all of us will, whether it's in our sermon or we do it up front, we don't know much about sheep. Maybe what we actually heard is that this isn't about sheep, as it is about us. And if Jesus is the good shepherd, and we're connected as a shepherd and a sheep would be, let's think about it. I confess I don't want to be a sheep, and I don't think we often sign up to be sheep, do we? I mean, the sheep that we see are kind of dirty and smelly, and not maybe from far away they're cute, and on a flannel board they look all right, but up close we don't really want to be connected to all of that mess. And given a choice, wouldn't we rather be a wolf or a shepherd or something? Not a sheep, not somebody who can be manipulated, kind of led into some crazy things, not too self-assured, not too ahead of the game. I mean, I want my own choices. I want things my way. Even, and it should be noted, if that way is a way that is killing me, I still want to be able to choose my own way. So the thing about sheep, us, is that sheep are rebellious. They stand on the times on the edge of the flock, not really wanting to be seen with the other sheep, a little bit standoffish, if you will, pretending that we're free agents, not really with those other sheep. We're kind of like the anti-shepherdarians. We're our own sect. And it's funny because our insistence on that we're not sheep, that we're not like the rest of them, is the very thing that keeps us away from the very thing that we want, which is we want to belong. We want to be safe. We want to feel complete. We want to be part of the care and the love that the sheep need, but we want to push it away at the same time because we've somewhere in our life lacked the safeness or the belongingness that we desperately needed. Or we had it for such a short time, like the man born blind, who was instantly, now I am part, and then the whole world pushes him aside and leaves him cast off. We know what that feels like, church. And it's the same thing that makes us rebellious, because it keeps us from getting the very thing that we want more deeply than anything. We want to belong. That we're part of something. You know, the thing about sheep also is that we really don't know our size. You know, sometimes we are small sheep, and we're likely to give our hearts to any shepherd-shaped thing that comes our way. We're so small, and we're in need, and we love to be small and in need, and to be parented and led and cared for by anybody else, because if we're small and we can't match up, why, then we never have to be responsible for the other sheep. We never have to handle our own things. We can just be cared for because we're always the smallest. Yet we always want to be the big sheep too, the ones sort of dressed up in wolf's clothing, the ones that desperately want someone to take care of us, someone to guard us, someone to help and protect us. Someone that we can belong to. But we puff up with our big sheepness because we're just scared. And we push others away and strut and manage and divide so that no one will suspect. But you know, the good shepherd knows us. Sheep have terrible hearing, at least we do sometimes. We can't hear the shepherd call us because in our minds our voices are clamoring out about our self-critique. If we were just taller or shorter, if our wool was white like the other ones, or if it was more curly like his, if we were, well, just different, because we so hate our sheepness, whatever that is, and it drives the voices in our heads so loud that we can't hear. And we search for a belonging in things that don't really matter, because we can't embrace that we belong to the flock. Sometimes we filter out all of the good messages that we hear from the other sheep, even from the good shepherd, the things about ourselves and our place in the flock where we belong. We forget that we belong to family, we forget we belong to church, to community, to an idea of how we can be together, to a world, to a little globe in the world, that we're part of something altogether. And we step aside from that. We push it away. And we just say, you know what? The other sheep are better. They get the attention. They're having all of the fun. That can't be for me. But man, there is times, brothers and sisters, we do shine as sheep too. And that's good news. We're the sheep who can be unbelievably tender to other sheep, doing perfectly sheepy things for our fellow flock. We show them where the best grass is. We nudge them with our noses to get them to stand back up when they've fallen. We know when to stop saying baa so loudly that we can't hear the shepherd call. Sometimes we're that way, right? So often, when we hear the love of the good shepherd, we are our very best selves. Because we are all of these sheep. Are you with me? We're all of these sheep. It isn't about some sheep and some other sheep. We are all these sheep. And it's okay that we are. And that's the big kicker. If it was any of these other metaphors, we'd start saying why we deserve and why they don't deserve and how we've gotten it on our own. But when we're sheep and we can be okay with that, everything changes. Because, well, I wish he'd said something different because I could own that. There's nothing wrong with the fact that we are sheep of God's keeping. Are you with me, church? Listen, there's nothing wrong with the fact that we are not just sheep, we are sheep of God's keeping. And you are sheep of God's keeping. Because you're a sheep, you belong to someone. You belong to God in a way that takes care of these deepest things. But you got to embrace that you are to know it. And the truth is that we're petty and deceitful, but we're also heroic, and sometimes we're small, and we are filled with grace. And there's nothing wrong with being all of that. Are you with me? There's nothing wrong with being that, because it is the truth. And this truth about sheep is exactly why we should embrace it, because to fear the truth is crazy, because it is that truth that the one thing Jesus said would set us free. Are you with me? Listen. To embrace that we belong, to embrace that that's who we are, to embrace that as we are, God loves us, to embrace that truth and to embrace it is to be set free. It's the truth, even in the ways we try to push it away. See the truth of who you are, the truth of these jagged little edges and these janky little hearts, our fragile need to belong to everything. It's not something to be ashamed of. So let yourself be the sheep. Let the flock be who it is, because there's no amount of rebellion or smallness or bigness or self-pity or the ways that we seek belongingness to lesser shepherds or the wolves that we let in out of our inability to watch. None of that can ever change the fact that we belong, our belongingness to the good shepherd. So yeah, like it or not, we are all, at some time or another, all of these different kinds of sheep, of people. You know it's in our hearts, the needy, the proud, the distant, the rebellious, man, the kind, the vain, the glorious. All the kinds of sheep belong to the shepherd. And the shepherd loves this whole mess of sheep. That's the point, right? While the man born blind is kicked out and persecuted and pushed, never able to belong because of judging and moving, Jesus goes, I love all these sheep. This whole mess of sheep the good shepherd loves. He lays down his life for the sheep that are all of this. Which means that the shepherd's care and unfolding love is not contingent upon being the right kind of sheep. Amen? You hear me? The love and the care is not contingent on becoming the right kind of sheep. The sheep doesn't need to believe or even to understand or be sure of how all of this works in order that the shepherd calls us his own. That's why we have the daggone picture up here. To remind us that it is God's work, not our work, that makes us his own. Because the thing about the good shepherd is that the good shepherd never mentions criteria for being a sheep. Not the quality that the shepherd demands. He never holds auditions for the best sheep. Never bases the need, the protection and the love that he pours out, the concern for the sheep, how he loves and cares for them based on how they look or how they behave or the decisions that they make. There's never mentioned a basis for believing to become part of the flock of God. Not the good shepherd. All those other things we created, because quite honestly, belonging through grace is really offensive to our senses. It really bothers us because we assume that if something doesn't have value, if we didn't earn it, if we didn't do it, it must be worthless. So we've made the church into some sort of high commission on behavior and worthiness systems. Just like the man born blind encountered once Jesus restored him to his full humanity. And they cast him out. The truth about the good shepherd is that despite all of this, the good shepherd calls us by name. Are you with me, church? The good shepherd calls us by name. You know what? We know that voice that calls out to us, no matter how destructive, no matter how rebellious, no matter how we feel about ourselves, we still recognize that voice. It is always there. In the calamity of our insecurity, in the cry of the wolves, of the murmurs of our own internal high commission on worthiness and belongingness, with all that noise, we still hear the voice of the one who lays down his life for the sheep, the rebellious, smelly sheep. And he's always right there saying this, you to me. You belong to me. You belong to me. You belong to me. You belong to me. You belong. You. Amen? Amen. As we sing, I am thine, O Lord, and the kids come back and all that goes on,